I'm your host, John Rush, Rush to Reason, KLZ 560. Hour number three is upon us. Kurt Rogers joining us now for our Monday Mortgage Minute. Hello, Kurt. How are we, sir?
I'm fine, John. How are you doing?
What a beautiful day outside. Holy cow.
I'm telling you, we love Colorado fall weather.
It is. It's actually very, very nice out. Speaking of which, there's lots of folks that are out there that are either moving around, buying, selling, folks moving into the state, and so on. I know we've talked in the past, but I think a reminder to folks that if you're looking at buying or you know, especially buying, not necessarily the selling side, but the buying side, you better have your ducks in a row.
Yeah, and like you said, John, we've talked about it, and that's because there are so many people out trying to do loans. If you're buying a home, the lenders have what I call red flag purchase loans to get them done as fast as possible.
Okay.
But what used to take 2 to 3 weeks is now taking, you know, most of the time 4 to 5 weeks for several reasons. There's so much business out there.
Mm-hmm.
There's not enough staff to take care of it all. And the other part of it is trying to get appraisals. There's not near as many appraisers
gotcha.
Out there.
Gotcha.
And they're just backed up, you know, 3 weeks. And it just takes much more time.
Do you see an end to this anytime soon, or do you see this continuing on even into next spring?
I do see this pretty much staying the way it is. There are a lot of lenders that I'm working with that are hiring underwriters and they're hiring people. We're still going to have the appraisal issue, but one of the things that some of the lenders are doing is they're doing an appraisal waiver. They'll run it through a system, and
yep.
if the AVM,
yep.
which stands for Automated Valuation Method, says it's worth this, they won't even send the appraiser out, and you can close faster. So the lenders are looking for ways to keep it moving along.
And by the way, that makes total sense. Now, when it comes to folks moving to Colorado, I've got my own opinion on this. We can talk more about this on Thursday. We'll give everybody a little bit teaser that we'll talk about this on Thursday. But just really quick, do you see the seller's market because of all the buyers coming into Colorado changing anytime soon?
No.
I don't either.
And maybe in some remote areas, but in most cases, no. Anything that is, you know, $285,000 up to $500,000, there's always a strong market for it. And
I agree.
Bidding wars.
I agree. Okay, we'll talk more about that on Thursday, so everybody keep that in mind. We'll have Kurt back Thursday evening and talk about that as well. All right, Kurt, what do you got going on tomorrow on Haystack?
Actually, we're going to go through a lot of questions that people have asked me about, you know, mortgage. Why is it taking so long? What's the process? Why do I need the documentation? Why, so, you know, what's the cost of appraisals going up for? We're going to kind of walk through that and how to prevent some of these things that are coming in the mortgage industry so it doesn't slow you down when you're in the market.
Perfect. All right. And we'll talk some more about that again on Thursday. So we appreciate it. Kurt, as always, have a fabulous week, sir. We appreciate it very much.
Take care.
All right, sir. Take
Bye,
care. Bye. All right. I know I had a call a moment ago. If you want to call back in and talk about the 9 News topic, we can. I've got until 5:30 when we have our next guest joining us. So if you want to spend some time talking about that between now and then, feel free to call in 303-477-5600, and I'll take that call. I will say this, to chime in, you know, to add on to what I was talking about before the top of the hour. There's got to be some questions answered on the 9 News side of the fence, you know, i.e., who's been approving these expenditures? You know, there's always a chain of command inside of these larger corporations. In fact, Charlie, who owns 9 News now? Is it Gannett or who owns them now? I can't remember. Charlie's going to find out. It used to be Gannett. I don't know who it is now. But here's the reality, folks. Anytime you're in these bigger companies like that, even in my company, somebody has to approve the expenditure of somebody hiring a security guard to be at these events with a investigative reporter. So somebody's approving this stuff. So my point is this. 9 News can't just be innocent and say, oh, we didn't know anything about it. Or upper management can't say, oh, we didn't know anything about this. TEGNA, Tegna owns 9 News. So somebody inside of Tegna has a lot of answering to do. Because frankly, if they're doing this in Colorado, chances of them doing this in other parts of the country are very high as well. Some would say, well, what if this guy just went out and hired his own? I doubt that. I will just say this. I doubt that. Guaranteed, this has been going on from the top down inside of the organization itself. And so there's going to be questions asked as to who's approving this stuff. You know, who's rubber stamping the POs for wherever the check was written? And by the way, if any of you can prove this or send me an article, I would love to know. In fact, did Nine News actually contract with Pinkerton? If you've got an answer to that and want to call me, 303-477-5600. Again, we'll take another segment, talk about this. If you want to call in, feel free to do so. 303-477-5600. We'll be right back. Mighty Hand Construction, though, is next. As we talked to Kurt Rogers a moment ago, we'll learn more even on Thursday how doing some things around the house may increase the value of the house, may make it more sellable and or more enjoyable, and you may not actually have to increase much when it comes to the mortgage to make that happen. MightyHandConstruction.com or better yet, KLZRadio.com, 970-844-9191.
This is Rush to Reason on KLZ 560.
All right, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Paul and Brighton, give me 1 second here. I did read this on, this is coming, by the way, from Nine News. Nine News is saying that they did contract with Pinkerton. Pinkerton's statement is, we take loss of life in any situation very seriously and our hearts go out to those impacted by the situation. As it relates to the incident in Denver on October 10th, the agent in question is not a Pinkerton employee, but rather a contractor agent from a longstanding industry vendor. Security professionals often serve as guides to protect media crews during potentially dangerous situations or hostile environments. We are fully cooperating with law enforcement authorities in their investigation. Paul and Brighton, you're next.
Yeah, so I was just calling on the show, and I just coming on, so I hadn't heard anything about this Nine News thing, but I was looking at my ballot the other day, and I thought I'd ask the question of you guys. Do you know who puts the list of names in order? Because the very first one on the list is Biden and Harris, and they're not alphabetical.
I don't know.
On the ballot, the very first one for the presidential is Harris and Biden. Or Harris Biden.
To my knowledge, and I would have to verify this, but I would believe the Secretary of State is in charge of putting the ballot together and how it looks. That's my thought process.
I just thought it was very interesting that that was listed first, and there's no rhyme or reason to it.
It should be in alphabetical order. Typically, that's how it works.
It's not, though. Trump is second.
Interesting.
And then there's, you know, a list of a whole bunch of other people way past that.
Which are all of the third-party folks, I'm guessing, correct?
Yep, all the third-party folks, yep. I just thought it was interesting.
It's an interesting question, and I don't know that I can answer that. I don't know.
And I don't know if it's the same on the Democratic ballot versus the Republican ballot.
Yeah, it should be the same.
I don't know.
And by the way, I'm reading, just as a side note, Paul, I'm reading Ballotpedia, which really explains a lot of these things. It's got a great resource to go to if you have questions. And in a partisan general election, candidates are listed in this order. Incumbents first. On ballot, candidates nominated by major parties, alphabetically by first letter, Democrats, then Republicans. On ballot, candidate nominated by minor parties, alphabetically by first letter, conservative, green, libertarian, working families, etc. It doesn't say whether it's first name or last name. It just says alphabetically by first letter. Yeah, if it's last name, Biden's first.
Right then. I just thought it was interesting. I was like, well, that doesn't make a lot of sense. But it's like it's two different groups.
Well, and again, because it's to what I just read, in a partisan general election, candidates are listed in this orders. Now, because of this, so it's incumbents first. On ballot, candidates nominated by major parties, which would be the presidential election, Democrats first, Republicans second.
Yep.
I don't know. And then after that, it's the other minor parties, and it goes in this order. Conservative, green, libertarian, working families, and then whoever's last.
Yeah, Trump would be the incumbent, right?
Yeah, but he's also an on-ballot candidate nominated by a major party, so that Trump's probably that incumbent.
Okay.
Sorry for the pun there with using the Trump, you know, Trumps, but in that, yeah, I think in this case, yes, Biden would be first, Trump's going to be second.
Okay.
According to what I'm reading on Ballotpedia.
Okay. Sounds good. Well, thanks.
No, you're very welcome, Paul. Great question, by the way, and I appreciate that. I hope I answered that well. I'm not an expert in that arena, but I can look it up pretty quickly. And for those of you that are listening, Ballotpedia is a great resource. It's sort of like Wikipedia for what goes on with races and ballots and so on, and I find it to be pretty pretty spot on. I've found occasionally there's some things that I don't 100% feel that they're correct in, but for the most part, it's pretty unbiased, and they just give you the answers, and I just read you one of those a moment ago. So we got Brock joining us next. Brock, welcome to Rush to Reason.
Hey, John, how are you?
Good, sir.
Good. Hey, libertarian voter here in Colorado, and my ballot was the same way, and I was also kind of blown away that the Biden-Harris ticket was first, because obviously totally reject Biden and Harris as well.
Yeah, and again, as I read, you know, what I did is I just looked up how we order the candidates, and so there's a Ballotpedia article, how we order candidate lists, and I just read to you what it says.
Yeah.
And that's how it went. And by the way, I just learned something myself because I didn't know that.
Yeah, neither did I, but good to know.
So there you go. There's your answer, Brock.
Cool.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate it very much. So he's verifying that basically, and I got my ballot, by the way. I haven't opened it yet. I just received it today, and I will, you know, of course, open it and read it and let you guys all know tomorrow what mine says, but I guarantee you it's all going to be in the same order that the rest of yours are in as well. So 303-477-5600, that's our phone number. You got a question for us or a comment, and even a comment on what we were talking about with 9 News, feel free to ask. Andy, we were texting back and forth on this particular topic as well, and Andy basically said, is 9 News finished after this debacle that happened on Saturday? My answer back is no, but they should be. Unfortunately, there are still enough knuckleheads out there that will watch 9 News. Their ratings might take a little bit of a dip, but chances of that happening are probably slim to none. I will say that Tagnet, Charlie, am I saying that right? Tegnet, who owns 9 News, if they're smart, which these aren't dumb people, business-wise, if they're smart, somebody's head will roll and they will make an example out of somebody that made a bad judgment in all of this, and they will publicize that and they will run with that, and there will be a scapegoat somewhere along the line to try to keep the peace. That's my prediction. I could be completely wrong, but that's my prediction as to what they will do. We'll see whether that happens or not, but that's my prediction. If 9 News or the folks that own 9 News is smart, they will have a statement talking about how they're going to review all of this and their policies across the country when it comes to investigative journalism and, you know, having security people with them and so on and so forth. Trust me, this is all going to get looked at, and it needs to be, by the way. And then we'll see what happens after that. All right. I found a story that was interesting today that I'll just read it to you. A woman files around 500 lawsuits across the U.S. as a tester of disability compliance. Now, I'm not going to read the whole article to you, but essentially what this is there's a woman who has a blindness, who needs to use a wheelchair, who in the case of these lawsuits has never set foot at, in this case, the hotels that she's suing. She's suing them because in her mind, I'm saying her mind because I don't think this is the way it really should work, but in her mind, there's not enough information on the website about ADA compliance and or ADA compliant rooms, you know, rooms with disabilities, you know, that you know, foster toward the disability side. And you guys know what I'm talking about there. So she filed roughly 500 lawsuits across the country against particular hotels or chains because she doesn't see on the website enough accommodation, quote unquote, for her. And as this article continues, it talks about how the ADA was set up long before the internet was. And so there's some gray area even in regards to what needs to be on a website and what doesn't need to be on a website. I personally hope these lawsuits get dismissed because Deborah Laufer, who is the lady doing these lawsuits, in my opinion, is just causing a lot of problems that don't need to be caused. Now, I could be completely wrong, but I don't think I am. And here's why. Let me explain it this way. If she's got really any kind of a beef or really any kind of a question in what a particular place can do to accommodate her, what's wrong with picking up the phone and asking? Now, in her mind, she's going to say, well, you don't have to do that as a you know, non-disabled person when it comes to booking something. No, but if I want to know something specific about a particular hotel or resort, what do? I pick up the phone and I ask. How is that any different for me versus her or Charlie or anyone else? That's my beef here. If you really want to know something about a particular place you're going to, there's a phone. Or you have the ability in some cases to instant chat or send an email and ask a question. I've yet to ever go to a particular hotel's website and not get whatever question I need answered by doing what I just mentioned. Sending an inquiry, sending an email, doing the instant chat, or last but not least, pick up the old telephone and dial. To me, these are the type of lawsuits that we should have some sort of reform in our country on and eliminate. I am not a believer in suing for whatever you think you should be able to sue for. I don't believe in that. I believe in this country you should have to sue for cause. And if you don't have a good cause, shut up and go away. Yeah, that's my feeling. This is one of these where she should pick up the phone, call the number, ask the questions, and there doesn't need to be 500 lawsuits filed. This is, in my opinion, outlandish. Some of you may agree or disagree. That's my stance. As I read through this and I look at some of the people that she actually is suing, i.e. the Maine Woods Inn at Vacationland, this particular lady that responded, because some didn't, but this one that responded said she's trained her staff to work with people with disabilities to ensure they have an accessible room, and she'll make sure that those accessible rooms are reflected on their website. Why? Again, why? Why for a very small minority of the population would you need to change your website around when all somebody has to do is inquire and ask? No different than if I had a question I'd have to ask. Why does all of these companies, these businesses, have to go one extra step in, you know, making sure that somebody like this lady that's doing the lawsuit, Deborah, is taken care of? She's filed 6 lawsuits in Maine and hundreds in more than a dozen states. Folks, there should be a law against that happening. That's just my 2 cents. We'll take a break. Pure Fresh Chevrolet is coming up next. They want to help you with all of your vehicle needs. New, used, doesn't matter what it is. They'll take care of you. They got a great deal on a very clean, low mile. 2,500 miles is all on this truck. 2020 Colorado. Diesel, which, by the way, you can't find too many of those. If you're somebody looking for a diesel Z71, they've got one. 38250, which is about $5,000 or $6,000 less than you would typically pay for that truck. That's a great deal. They've got that ready for you, plus all the new and used trucks and cars as well. PurifyChevrolet.com, 303-659-8311.
Another satisfied customer of Rolly Purifoy and his team at Purifoy Chevrolet.
Hi, my name's Al.
Hi, this is Kathy.
We moved out here in 82, and we needed a better pickup truck to haul my wife's horses. So we went up there, and when we bought the new Chevy pickup, we knew we could count on them to take care of her if I was on the road, which they always have. And that made my job easier, being away from home, knowing that they were there for her. In other words, if she broke down, they could come tow her in. She could go up there with a light out. They would take care of it. They're like family.
I will tell you this, when I need a ride home, they have somebody to run me home. In fact, they fight over who's going to drive me. So we've made very good friends up there over the years. Like Al says, they're like family. We walk in and it's like, hi, Kathy. Hi, Al. We'd do anything for Rolly and the family up there.
Everything we have is Purifoy, and you just couldn't ask for a better experience.
Hi, I'm Rolly Purifoy. We're just up the road in Fort Lupton and on the web at purifoychevrolet.com. Find new roads.
Golden Eagle Financial and Al Smith would love to help you with not only financial planning, but what to do once you get there. in retirement is what I mean. He'd love to help you. KLZradio.com or 303-744-1128. Let him explain to you wealth accumulation versus retirement planning.
As people move toward the last phase of their lives, retirement, they're faced with many decisions, most of which are financial. For some, that can be filled with anxiety and uncertainty. I'm Al Smith, owner of Golden Eagle Financial, and I've been guiding people for many years as they prepare for or make that transition. I will listen very patiently about what you want your retirement to look like before I make any recommendations. In addition to creating the financial elements of a sound retirement plan, I'll share what I've learned from my clients about what they've done to make their final years fulfilling. It involves finding your purpose in retirement. For many, that may include giving back and helping those who need it. Arrange your free consultation with me, Al Smith of Golden Eagle Financial, now at klzradio.com/money.
Advisory services offered through Foundations Investment Advisors, an SEC-registered investment advisor.
Now is the time to zero in on your target audience. So many businesses spread themselves too thin by trying to reach an enormous pool of customers. John Rush can help you define your niche, trimming the fat so you can maximize your profits. Not just surviving the shutdowns, but actually beating out your competition with smarter business strategies. You've done a good job staying afloat. Now it's time to hone in on your most profitable customers. Reach John now at RushToReason.com.
Stay up to date with Rush to Reason after the show on Twitter at Rush to Reason and on Facebook.com/Rush to Reason.
Welcome back. Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. And Charlie just informed me, just make sure I get this out there before we take our next guest, that Nine News is owned by Tegna, which actually is just a branch off of Gannett Broadcasting, which is what I had thought originally. So Gannett is the print side, like USA Today, for example. And the broadcast side is Tegna. So technically, Nine News is still owned by Gannett Broadcasting, a very large and profitable company, by the way, just as a side note. So Bob Zadek joining us now, author of Essential Liberty, Finding Freedom in a Post-COVID World. Bob, welcome to Rush to Reason. How are you today?
Oh, thank you so much for having me. You're very gracious.
Well, we appreciate it very much. And in my notes, I've got a question. Are we witnessing a dress rehearsal for authoritarianism? And I would say, yeah, we are.
Well, I hope you're right. I hope this isn't the real thing. And I hope this is just a rehearsal.
Yeah, me too.
And not the real thing, which means it's not going to go away. If it's a rehearsal, it means the curtain will come down and we'll be finished with it. If it's the real thing, we're stuck with it.
Well, you have a great point. And I hope I'm right as well. I hope it is just a dress rehearsal. Although there are parts of the country and certain cities, Bob, where I'm not sure that's going to be the case.
Well, it's interesting because what we're seeing is this forgetfulness. We have mayors and governors, Cuomo being the poster child for all of it, Governor Newsom right behind, Pennsylvania and New Jersey right behind them. What's happening is this. It's very clear that chief executives, federal, state, local, do have emergency powers.
Mm-hmm.
Those powers are authoritarian by statute. But, and this is what got lost in the wash, and it was no accident, emergency powers were created in the executive for a very specific reason. It was imagined that a government, state or local, could have a crisis, which has to be dealt with by the legislature. But the legislature is not in session or can't act fast enough.
Right.
Sometimes things have to take place in minutes. Well, so the executive is given that emergency power. Emergency. Only until the legislature, the duly elected body,
can meet, right?
Laws to meet.
Yeah, thank you.
Now, it's not permanent. It's a short-term measure. But people forget, the chief executives forget to give it back, or they keep on redeclaring the emergency
mm-hmm.
forever.
Yep. Yeah, so like in we have the same situation in Colorado, Bob, if you didn't know that. Our governor yesterday came out and just extended our mask mandate, our statewide mask mandate, for another 30 days, and we still have, you know, restaurants and bars and certain things in this state that are still shut down.
And since we have both the executive and the legislative branches, neither one wants to be nailed making a wrong decision. So the legislature is perfectly happy to let the government make the mistakes, so he gets yelled at or she gets yelled at and they get reelected. It's the same reason legislatures love it when the courts legislate, because the court is filling a vacuum, but at least no one's going to, people can't yell at the courts, they're not elected.
Mm-hmm.
And no one yells at the legislature, they say it's not our fault, blame the judges. So this is all an abdication of responsibility, so that people are hiding from making decisions. Thus we have the permanent emergency. Do you know, the United States government has about 18, I think that's the number, states of emergency. Some are 30 and 40 years old that never have been undeclared. But I think the Korean War is still an emergency. That may have recently been resolved, believe it or not.
Wow, amazing. And to your point, these guys get amnesia. They forget that these are supposed to be temporary orders, but yet they continue to just keep revolving and revolving and revolving. And it's frustrating. I guess you can tell even from my voice that it, especially here in Colorado, it's frustrating that we continue to have Bob, a governor here that just continues to come out. And the data, by the way, doesn't support the decisions that are being made. I think that's the other thing that's frustrating for me.
Well, the data, of course the data doesn't support it. The chief executives will hide behind selective data.
Yep.
There were no hearings. When the legislature makes a decision, presumably it does so openly when they indicate to the voters, here's what we decided and why. Chief executives will drag out somebody with a white coat and a stethoscope in the pocket and say, see this person? I'm following the science, just like Biden says. But the question is never, are you following the science? The question is, what science?
Yeah, thank you.
Are you following economic science?
Yes.
Medical science? Or are you following some flaky science? And which scientists are you following? But they hide behind any old scientist they can drag out. And the scientist is giving political advice. Dress up as science.
Well, and I said earlier in the program, the 3 o'clock hour, Bob, that in my opinion, if the data is not backing up the science, then in my opinion, it's junk science. And I think that's what we've got going on with COVID in a lot of states around the country. We've got here in Colorado, we've got a person that's in charge of our health in Colorado that, get this, Bob, predicted early on with COVID that if we didn't do some drastic measures, we would have 4 million people in the United States of America dead. You know, the guys in Washington, the Faucis, the little dictator Fauci was predicting 2 million. Our guy was predicting double that amount, and both of them were way far off.
Because no one is going to scold them if they're off. They're not elected for anything. They have their 15 minutes in the sunshine.
That's right.
More power than they ever imagined. They live their life in total obscurity. Now all of a sudden, they're on Fox and they're on CNBC, and they're being sought after like rock stars.
That's right.
It's intoxicating.
That's right. Thank you. You and I are lock, stock, and barrel when it comes to this stuff. I believe that we, you know, for once, what's happened is, what I mean to say this is, for the first time, maybe not the first time, but in my lifetime, for the first time, the doctors and the folks that would rather, you know, would want you to be bubble wrapped when you leave your house because for fear something might actually happen to you, the reality is these are the guys that finally have their 5 minutes of fame, and man, Bob, they are taking every single advantage of it they possibly can.
You know what it's like? It's like, imagine you and I or any one of your listeners, if everything they ate, they only ate if a nutritionist said it was good for them.
Yep.
Imagine how your life would be horrible. You would need a shrink because you're going to commit suicide.
Yep.
But in the eyes of the nutritionist, that is the healthy stuff, but they don't know about your mental health, or they don't know about pleasure, or they don't know about psychology. So from their very narrow vision, yes, you should only eat broccoli. But if you're a hammer, everything in the world looks like a nail.
Yep.
And therefore, if you're an epidemiologist, everything in the world is a threat to mass disease. And they don't see the economic effect,
no, they don't.
Psychological effect. They don't see any of that because it's not their job.
And by the way, I'm glad they're there. I appreciate what they do to keep society safe. But there's a reason why, Bob, we don't let the bean counter run the company. And it's the same thing we've got going on right now. We've got epidemiologists running the country, and the same thing happens to the country that happens to a business when you let the bean counter run it. It fails.
If you would let a doctor decide how you should spend your leisure time, nobody would climb mountains.
Nope.
Nobody would skydive. Nobody would hang glide because a doctor will say you could get hurt.
That's right.
So you don't turn over your life and certainly not your liberty. You don't turn over your liberty to an epidemiologist.
But you know, I got a better explanation, Bob. Let me give you this analogy. It's likened to letting the folks that underwrite your life insurance, who dictate everything you can and can't do, that's essentially who's running the country right now, correct?
Oh, that's perfect. That's a perfect statement.
Because the life insurance guys, you can't race, you can't ride motorcycles, you can't skydive, you can't parachute. I mean, there's all sorts of lists of do and don'ts you can't do. You can't be overweight. You can't have a BMI of such and such. You have to have a respiratory number of such and such. I mean, you go down the list of these guys, you got to take a blood test, you know, in some cases when it comes to getting life insurance. These are the same guys now that are running the country.
You know, you made a wonderful analogy, because I'll take your analogy, which is perfect, and let me stretch it one step further. The life insurance carriers don't say, don't eat fatty foods, but they say, or don't smoke, but they say, you can smoke, we can't stop you, but the premium will go up.
That's right.
And you will say, you know, it's worth it. I'll pay the extra money.
Yep.
Well, how about letting me pay the extra money, if you will, to follow your metaphor, but I want to go to work.
Yes, thank you.
It's on me.
Yep.
It's on me.
Well
said. So your metaphor is absolutely spot on.
Yeah, the only problem that we're having right now, Bob, is they're not giving us that option of paying more to go do those things. They're just saying, you can't do them, period.
They're not giving us the freedom to run our own lives.
You are what? Boy, you know, I'm glad you're on. I mean, this has been an ongoing thing, as you know, since, you know, about March. So it's not like it's just something we just started talking about. But the longer this goes, the deeper we get down this path, if you would. Question I have for you, I guess, is does it ever end? When are we going to get the point where the masks are gone? We can go to what you just said a moment ago, choose how to live our lives, have that freedom. Or are we going to be lemmings and be stuck with this forever?
As Madison said, the natural order of things is for liberty to recede and power to increase. That's the natural order of things. Therefore, unless we protest, it will continue. So your question has been answered time and time again by the founders and by philosophers. So the answer is well known, unless we take affirmative steps in the ballot box by foot voting, unless we take affirmative steps to seize back our freedom, it will continue.
And I agree.
If we are sheep,
yep,
it continues.
And I agree. And I am one, and maybe I'm being a little bit optimistic in this area, Bob, but I think I've done enough of my own, you know, polling while out and about. I went on vacation a few weeks ago and sort of did some independent polling on vacation and just listening and, you know, not being a talk show host, but just listening into what people were saying, and nobody knew exactly what I did for a living. And my own thought process, Bob, is people are tired, they're fed up. They may not tell the pollsters this, but in my opinion, they're fed up, and I think you're going to see that on November 3rd.
Well, I sure hope so. Although most people just have lost all faith in the ballot box, not in that it's dishonest, but because one vote is so insignificant, it's very hard to become an enthusiastic voter because you feel just the numbers. One vote doesn't make a difference, and it's very hard to get people to be active enough to actually express their feeling in the one of two ways we can vote. We can vote with our feet, and we can vote with a ballot. And people, one way or another, have to exercise one or the other. Remember again what Madison said. Madison said, and this is scary because we may see that he's right. Madison said a long time ago, democracy never lasts long. There was never a democracy yet that did not commit suicide. Mm. And I am fearful. I know that quote well, and I am fearful that the election in a few short weeks from now will be democracy committing suicide unless the voters do as you say.
Well, and I guess we will know here shortly. Again, folks, you can find the book on Amazon, Essential Liberty, Finding Freedom in a Post-COVID World. And I'm assuming that's where they buy it, is Amazon. Is that the best place, Bob?
Well, also, if I may, I do a talk show, a live show on Sundays. It's a live show, 8 to 9 Pacific. It's live stream on the web nationally. It's in 8 a.m. markets. And it is, of course, podcasts. Wherever you get your podcasts, it's the Bob Zadick Show.
Perfect.
Live every Sunday, a full hour, no commercials.
Perfect. Bob, I appreciate it. I hope that I hope I'm right. I hope that I don't want to say that you're wrong, but I hope that we both are surprised by what people do on voting day. Let's just say that.
I sure hope you're right. All of my fingers are crossed. I can't even type.
Yeah, you and I are together. Bob, I'd love to have you back. This is good stuff. I really appreciate it, sir.
Stay well, and thank you for having me.
We'll do it, Bob. Appreciate it very much. Bob Zadick, again, author of Essential Liberty, Finding Freedom in a Post-COVID World. Extreme Auto Repair coming up next, folks, and they want to help you with all of your vehicle needs. It's easy. Just go to klzradio.com. Ask about the 15% discount you can get as a Rush to Reason listener. There's a free second opinion. And don't forget, this week they start their $70 rebate on Cooper tires, which, by the way, they still sell you at cost. That's klzradio.com, 303-841-1071.
Mistakes happen. Auto repair shops prove their mettle when something goes wrong. The team at Extreme Auto Repair in Parker recognizes that mistakes happen. They're committed to doing what they say, even when that means replacing a failed part for free or honoring the original price they quoted a customer despite unexpected issues. They hear all the time from their loyal customers that's what keeps them coming back because of how the entire team responds when something goes wrong. The techs at Extreme Auto level with you, following through to fix the problem. They don't just replace parts, they repair vehicles. It's that same degree of integrity that keeps their employees around long-term, too. The average Extreme Auto technician has 16-plus years of experience, and they stick around because they share the same commitment when something goes wrong. We do what we say. No arguments, no excuses. Just apologize and work to make it right. KLZradio.com/extreme, promises kept.
Flesh and Beck is up next, and Kevin Flesh, I talked earlier about all the frivolous lawsuits that were being made by a particular lady in regards to hotel websites and their ADA. Now, I'll also tell you something else about Kevin Flesh. He's not going to take those cases. That's not Kevin. If you don't have a good case, in other words, if you're just trying to scam someone or you're not really having problems with an insurance company and there's really no case there, Kevin's not going to take your case. He's not that guy. He's got integrity, and he's only going to do what's right and what's right for you. So if you've got any kind of a situation going on where there's injuries, there's been an auto accident, you need something done, give Kevin a call. But you know what? He's also not somebody that's just going to scam the insurance company. That's who he is. 303-806-8886. It's fleshlawfirm.com, FLESCH.
KLZ's personal injury attorney, Kevin Flesh of Flesh and Beck Law.
Red light cameras, what's the scoop on those?
First of all, you'll get something in the mail with a picture. The picture has to be the person that owns the vehicle. That's the only way that they can ID the driver is by the owner of the vehicle. So if you're driving someone else's vehicle and they get the ticket and your picture is on it, tell them to throw it away because they'll never be able to ID who it is that was driving. So even worst case scenario, I'm driving my own vehicle. I go through an intersection. They get a good picture. They will send me a notice. I still say throw that away.
Yeah, because they need to serve you.
That's right. And if they personally serve you, then you have to deal with it. But if they don't, trash.
Yeah, trashola.
It's a complete revenue generator.
It's all it is.
Yes.
It's just a tax.
Yep.
It's a driving tax.
That's exactly what
it is. That's all it is, people.
Kevin Flesh of Flesh and Beck Law. Common sense legal advice. 303-806-8886. 303-806-8886. FleshLawFirm.com.
when politicians want to raise taxes, they're supposed to give you a say in the matter. They're not supposed to sidestep the law and make you pay more without your approval. But that's exactly what politicians are doing. And that's why we need Proposition 117. Proposition 117 gives us, the taxpayers, a voice. It allows us to vote on large fee increases, which we all know are just hidden taxes. For far too long, politicians in Colorado have raised the cost of car registrations, health insurance, and even hospital stays without giving voters a choice. They get away with it by calling their cost increases fees instead of tax hikes. Voting yes on Proposition 117 would change that and stop the hidden tax hikes. Vote yes on Proposition 117 to give Coloradans the voice they deserve. Paid for by Unite for Colorado. Katie Kennedy, registered agent.
You know you ought to take a second look at your home and auto insurance because premiums keep going up, but you haven't set aside the time. Let Paul Lenigro and his team at Group Insurance Analysts help you for free. Make one free phone call today to review your plan. 303-423-0162.
Putting reason into your afternoon drive. This is John Rush.
Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. About 10 minutes or so left of the show today is all. And as I said earlier, Joe, who's a great listener of ours, been listening for a very, very long time, had lunch with him today. And we talk a lot of things, even off air, you know, via email and different things. And he and I have been talking a lot about leadership and business and things like that. Today at lunch, we talked about a few things. He had sent me this a few days ago. And so I'm going to kind of close off today with leadership, something that I believe we lack not only in the United States of America, but in the world and a lot of organizations, especially politics. We don't have that many good leaders left. And as a side note, Joe Biden, not a good leader. Donald Trump, he's a good leader. Like him or not, he's a good leader. Here's seven leadership practices. I'm going to go over each one of these, and we may come back to these later in the week or even in the coming weeks and talk more about these. But here's seven things that are characteristics, I should say, of good leadership practices. Inquiry. A good leader is always asking why, as in, why do we do it this way? Why don't we give it a try doing it this other way? And or why is our share of the market shrinking? So a good leader always asks the question, why? Why do we do it? And, you know, by the way, I think that's one of the things Donald Trump's done in government. Why do we do this? Why is the rest of the world not paying its fair share when it comes to UN dues? Why is it not paying its fair share at NATO? Why are we in all of these worlds, you know, in these wars around the world? Why are our servicemen and women not coming home? Why? By the way, that's a good question a good leader should ask. Advocacy. A good leader is continually advocating his or her beliefs, values, and visions to his or her organization so that if a group of his or her employees were trying to solve a problem or come up with a new policy in the leader's absence, there would never be any disagreement as to what the question would be. What would John say if he were here now? By the way, that's the sign of a good leader is when they advocate on their behalf constantly so you always know where they stand. And if there's ever a question of what should we do, you could automatically say, well, I think he or she would do it this way. I'll use Donald Trump again as an example. Do we ever wonder as a country where he stands on certain issues? The answer is no, we don't. We've got a Supreme Court justice that's being that's going through the nominate or the confirmation process. He's nominated and is going through the confirmation process this week. There was never any doubt in our mind who he would choose when it came to the type of justice that he nominated and who's now going to be confirmed. There was never any question about that. Initiative. A good leader is a change agent and puts change in motion. And by the way, a lot of folks out there, especially folks on the left, they don't like change. They love the status quo. Let's just do things the way we've always done them. Let's keep funneling money into this organization. Let's keep this thing moving the way it always had. And no, we don't want any change. But a good leader is a change agent. That's what I call it. Motivation. The initiatives without motivation will frequently fail. A good leader knows how to motivate his team. And go to any rally with Donald Trump and tell me he doesn't know how to motivate. I've been to one. He does. And by the way, good leaders do. Decisive decision-making. A good leader makes good decisions quickly and doesn't put off hard decisions. When wrong, he quickly corrects the mistake. And by the way, good leaders make mistakes. They make bad decisions at times. The key is there. The key is how quickly do they resolve those mistakes and or admit them and move on. By the way, I also believe that a good leader doesn't dwell on those mistakes. They know they're there. They know they screwed up. They move on. Off we go. And by the way, that's not so they can just bury the mistake. It's because they know they can't dwell there. They have to move on. Conflict resolution. A good leader encourages open debate and the airing of different opinions when it comes to decisions and policies. And a good leader will not permit interdepartmental squabbles to fester and damage the effectiveness of the organization. In other words, they bring things together inside of their organization. Critique. Some people can construe critique as only criticism, and it's not. A good leader is continually giving feedback, both positive and negative. That includes noticing and encouraging employee initiatives and achievements and coaching those who need to work on their technical customer work habits or teamwork skills. And Joe closed off the email that we went back and forth on by how you test the validity of all of this is go back in your own life and remember the people that you were around that were either really good at these things or really bad, whether that be a pastor, whether that be a coach, whether that be a coworker, somebody that was leading you in an organization, you know, a manager, a boss, and go through this list and just check off those things that you know the good ones did well and the bad ones didn't do so well. And you'll soon learn that, yeah, this is a pretty good list of things that as a leader you should be doing. And again, I will tell you that go through this list and put Joe Biden on one side, put Donald Trump on the other side, put Mike Pence on one side, put Kamala Harris or Kamala Harris on the other side, and tell me how they come out. And I will tell you right now, the Biden-Harris ticket doesn't do well at any of these things that I just mentioned. Not any, but the majority of these things. And Shannon Kitchens is next, by the way. And if you want good leadership in regards to how to do your kitchen, that's Enchanted Kitchens. And what I mean by leadership is they will work through and help you with the process of what it takes to redesign your kitchen. They're going to be that leader to lead you through and guide you through the process. And no offense, folks, if you don't have a good leader, it's not going to work properly. Don't let the contractor, by the way, be the leader. Let the design team design it properly and do that for you. That's where Enchanted Kitchens comes in. Find them at klzradio.com or dial 303-376-7588.
Transform your kitchen into a place where you and your guests want to be. The design team at Enchanted Kitchens loves hearing from their clients once they start enjoying their new space. They hear all the time that people start cooking more often, spending more time in the kitchen. Your kitchen becomes the place where kids and grandkids naturally gather to chat. All of those little details, which you and the Enchanted Kitchens design team plan out so thoughtfully ahead of time, work together to create a space that feels comfortable and inviting, so everyone gravitates toward the kitchen more often. Many clients even say they spend more time at home because they enjoy their houses more. Your kitchen becomes the place where you and your guests want to be. You have time to transform your kitchen before the holidays, but you need to begin now. Mention Rush to Reason for a free in-home design consultation. KLZradio.com/kitchens, where magic meets design.
Stay up to date with Rush to Reason after the show on Twitter at Rush to Reason and on Facebook.com/Rush to Reason.
Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Tomorrow we've got Jordan Goodman joining us, America's Money Answer Man in the first hour. Andy and I will be here all 3 hours. We got a lot of guests for you tomorrow. Lindsay Singer will be with us on Wednesday, by the way. You heard somebody, one of our ads earlier, talking about some of the propositions, 117 in particular. Lindsay Singer on Wednesday will go through that with us, and we'll get some more details on that. Actually, sorry, I made a mistake. Tomorrow, Lindsay's joining us. So 4 o'clock tomorrow, Lindsay's joining us. I'm going to talk about 117. As well as John Zmerich. Liz Mayer, who's been gone for a while with all of the COVID stuff, is going to be back with us again tomorrow as well. We'll get her take on what's happening with the election coming up as well. But guys, with that, our first hour replays next. If you missed any of it, we had a great first hour, by the way. Be sure to tune in and stay tuned for the next hour. Otherwise, we'll be back tomorrow, same time, same place. But this is Rush to Reason signing off. Myself, Charlie Grimes, we'll see you tomorrow right here on KLZ 560.